Yeah, well, I'm at a group check one video tonight. Here are these young men and young ladies speak. And I think you'll leave here tonight saying that you were richly rewarded. These young people put a lot of time and effort into these lessons, and so that you will just be very, very profited by being here this evening. Let's bow to the Lord's prayer. Father, we are thankful that we can come to you in prayer, thankful that you love us so much that you gave us your Son. Thankful for all the teachings that Jesus gave us, that we can study from the Bible, we can study openly, and have a free country. We pray that it will always be so. Bless us now for study, we pray in Jesus' name, and amen. For scripture reading this morning, I want to turn over to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. People were gathered together and were coming to him out of every city. He spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Another fell on good ground and sprung up and bare fruit 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath the ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear and receive the word with joy, these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. That which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, so go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. That on the good ground are they which, an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Jesus' parables were powerful statements that are plain in what they taught. Sometimes people overdo a parable and try to make every single line and every single word mean some sort of symbolic thing, but that's just not the case. Jesus gave the parables, and usually with one basic meaning. Sometimes there's more than one. We know that when Jesus gave this parable about sowing seed, that it was a different situation. Here in the Western culture, in the Western world, our methods of farming are so different than what it was like in Jesus' life. In Jesus' day, it was an entirely different situation, but there is still some similarities between what we have today and what happened in Jesus' day. And Jesus, in giving this parable of the sower, tells us really what life is like. First of all, he talks about the fact that there is the word of God. That's the seed, and that's the first lesson, probably the most powerful lesson. But you remember, the thing that which is to be sown is the word of God. Not the teachings of men, not the philosophies of men, not the ideas and councils and creeds and preachers, but what is the word of God? What does the word of God have to say? That is the seed itself. And then you come to the fact that there are four types of soil. And Jesus makes this clear. First of all, you have that which is the wayside soil. Some translations say it's the beaten down path that's on the wayside. And Jesus makes it clear that the seed that falls on this path never does germinate. It never gets into the soil itself. In explaining this, he says these which are on the wayside, he says the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The fact of the matter is, the devil knows how powerful the word of God is. He knows what it can do to a person's life. James said that we have received with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Paul wrote to the Romans and said in Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When someone says my faith seems to be wavering or I seem to be going weak in faith, my response is always the same. Go back to the word of God. Go back to your Bible and read it. Sometimes people say, well, I'm just so weak I hardly have strength even in my faith to read the Bible. You may be weak in faith, but you can get stronger the more that you will read the word of God. The word of God will produce that faith in your heart. The devil will snatch it out of your heart. And he uses different ways that he will do that. One way that he uses that is by prejudice. You might tell people around you that this Bible is just not the word of God, and it's an old book, and it's just one that you just don't want to read. Sometimes there is indifference. People might say, well, yes, some people can read the Bible, but that's just not for me. It's just not my book. They just really don't care. Occasionally, there's false doctrine. Someone might say, well, you just really can't tell. And any book is from God. There's so many books that claim to come from God. How do you possibly know that the Bible is from God? And sometimes people will say, you know, I just am so having so much fun in my life. If I go by the Bible, I'm going to have to give up some things. I'm going to have to give up my drugs and give up my drinking, give up all these things that I'm doing. And I just don't want to give up these things. That is like the life that I'm living. So the devil has a lot of ways of stealing the word of God out of the hearts of people. But the point you need to see is that's what brings about salvation, is the word in the hearts of people. Secondly, you have the rocky soil, and this soil lacks depth. And Jesus says that they are they which they receive the word with joy at first, but in times of temptation, they really don't have conviction, and they fall away. And it's something to remember that there will be temptation. Even the Son of God had to go through temptation. And yet the Bible says there's no temptation taking you, but God will, with the temptation, make a way of escape. You don't have to give in. Jesus was tempted, but he never gave in to the temptation. And we need to keep that in mind, that the temptation may come, but we don't have to give in to it. Sometimes people say it also means that the troubles and the cares and the problems of life, and that's true too, that there's going to be problems. James again says, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. And that is the idea, the fact that there's going to be difficulties, there's going to be hardships, there's going to be problems. Nobody's life is free from it. Everybody has problems. But you can overcome the problems, you can overcome the temptations, you can overcome the difficulties, if you will remember the word of God. Don't be like that rocky soil. Then the third type that Jesus talks about is the thorny soil. And he says, these are hear the word, but then when the thorns come up, they choke out the word, and the word is not able to grow. And this is really a description in many senses to the church today. Because Jesus, in explaining it, says that these are really the cares of the world. This is the cares and the riches of the world. Now, the word cares really is the idea of just the ordinary things. They're not sinful, but they're just things that you just need to take care of. You have a home, you need to take care of your home. You have other things in life. You have a car, you've got to take care of that car. You have to get it looked after, you have to take it to the mechanic every so often. There's nothing wrong with that. That's just the fact of the matter. When you have that car, you've got to take care of it. Back in the days before there were automobiles, when people had horse and buggy, yes, you have to take care of your horse. You have to take care of that animal. Well, we replace the animal with the horsepower that is the car. But that's not wrong. But if the things of this life, whether it be your job, whether it be your house, whether it be your car, whether it be a whatever it might be, if those things take the place of God, all of a sudden the cares of this world that you care more about in this world have now choked out the word of God. The fact of the matter is, a person can have a hobby, let's say fishing. Nothing wrong with fishing. Fishing's a nice hobby, it's a good hobby. People enjoy it, there are fishing associations, things like that, fishing tournaments, things like that. Now, that's wonderful. But if a person says, look, the best time to go fishing is Sunday morning, and I just don't think I have to be in the church building, I don't have to be with the brethren, I can worship out on the lake. The fact of the matter is, they put that hobby in front of God himself. And then Jesus also talks about the riches of this life. And the Bible has a lot to say about the riches of my Paul warned in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. He says, but drown men in destruction and perdition, for the love of money is the root of all evil. We pointed out before that the real translation of that verse ought to be the love of all kinds of evil. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And the fact of the matter is, people are more focused on money oftentimes than they are on the Lord. They think about what am I going to do to make a little more money. And again, money is necessary. The Bible doesn't tell you that money is evil in and of itself, but the love of money has caused people to fall away from Christ. People sometimes will say, well, I just can't give anything to the Lord's work because I just have to go out and make some more money. Well, there's nothing wrong with making money, but that becomes more important than Christ. You have now let the cares of this world choke out your life. Then Jesus talked about the fourth soil there, and he says that's the good ground. And he says it's a good and honest heart. And that's so hard to find in the world today, a good and honest heart. A person that says, yes, I've sinned. I know I've sinned, and I know I need to be forgiven. A person that says, I know I can't forgive myself. I can do good deeds all of my life, but I realize I just can't forgive myself. Person who realizes I need a Savior. The Savior can't be me because I've got sin. The Savior can't be my friends because they've all got sin. There's only one person who lives who never had sin, and that's Jesus Christ. He needs to be my Savior. The Word can produce this faith. John said that he wrote many other, or Jesus did many other signs which are not written in that book, but they were written that you might believe, and by believing you have life in His name. You can have faith by believing in Christ, and that happens when you go into the Word of God. So Paul commended the brethren in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 2, he says, we thank God when you receive the Word of God as you heard of us. You received it not as the Word of men, but as it is indeed the Word of God. The Word of God is going to cause you to work for the Lord. The Word of God is going to cause you to be faithful. The Word of God is going to give you comfort. The Word of God is going to give you strength. The Word of God is going to give you all the things that you need spiritually in your life. Paul said in Ephesians 1, verse 8, God has given us all spiritual blessings in Christ. We have everything we need in Christ, and that comes by reading the Word of God. Now, is it any wonder that Satan is trying to destroy the Bible today? As we talked about in our class, the alleged Bible contradictions. We're trying to give everybody the ammunition they need to fight this, because we used to just say, well, that's in New York, or that's in California, or that's in Europe. It's always, no, it's in Alabama, and it's in every place. Satan is working everywhere he can to tear down the Word of God, to get people to not believe in the Word of God. People just give up on the Word of God. The fact of the matter is, the Bible is stronger than ever. When I am gone, when you are gone, when our children and grandchildren are all gone, the Bible will still be. Hundreds of years ago, people predicted that the Bible would be done away, but it wasn't. 100 years ago, Voltaire and others said the Bible would be gone, but it's not. And again, people are saying today, oh, the Bible will be gone, but it won't be. It will still be here. And it will be here because it is the Word of God. And Jesus said, this is what we need to plant in the hearts of men. It's no wonder Satan wants to take it away from the hearts of men, because he knows what it will do. I hope and I pray all of us will think about the types of soil, think about our lives, think about how we are living, that one day maybe we can hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. God, name of angels, we follow the gospel of God. This morning, we believe in Jesus as the Son of God, the one who repented of your sins, the one who confessed your faith in Christ, the one that put him on earth, water to baptism. Why not do that this morning? If as a child of God, you realize you have a Christian life, you need to rededicate your life, why not do that this morning? If there's any way that we can help you through prayer, any way that we can assist you, we invite you to come and encourage you to come and want you to come while we stand and while we sing.